Good afternoon. Well, it's great to see so many faces that I recognize. It's great to see students that I've had in the past, postdocs that we've had, colleagues now. It's good to see all of you, and I'll try and keep this energetic and upbeat so that that post-lunch drop will not affect your concentration. I'm Charles Drum, and the financial disclosure thing came up, nothing to report. I also want to acknowledge that although I've received funding from the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research that's contributed to this research, this doesn't represent the formal views of NIDR. I also want to thank my colleagues Willie Horner-Johnson from OHSU, Oregon Health and Science University, Ganga Totano, who is a former student and is now a first-year medical student at the University of Hawaii, and Monica McLean from the University of New Hampshire, who I inadvertently missed. So I want to do a few things today. I want to describe some kind of traditional approaches and approaches to health disparities and health disparity populations. I want to talk about the socioeconomic status of people with disabilities and compared to more recognized health disparity groups, primarily and exclusively actually racial ethnic groups. I want to do that in the context of talking about the social determinants of health. I also want to talk then about health status and health outcomes for people with disabilities compared to racial ethnic minority groups. So, where's the health and health disparities? What do we mean by health? Well, traditionally this term is meant to describe rates of disease, incidence, prevalence, morbidity, mortality, or survival rates. Also, health disparities or the health and health disparities refers to health, health status, health outcomes. More contemporary conceptions of health disparities have also focused on things like access to, utilization of, and quality of health care. There's a number of definitions of health disparities that are out there. I'm going to give you some historical context. So, NIH back in 1999 came up with a definition of health disparities that talked about differences in the incidence, prevalence, mortality, and burden of diseases and other adverse health conditions that exist among specific population groups in the United States. About the same time, the Health Resources and Services Administration published a definition calling it a population-specific difference in the presence of disease, health outcomes, or access to health care. And traditionally, these populations are thought of as racial ethnic minorities, women, rural populations. This is partly reflected in the Minority Health and Health Disparities Research and Education Act of 2000, which introduces a significant disparity in the overall rate of disease incidence, prevalence, morbidity, mortality, or survival rates in the population as compared to the general population. Two important elements there, comparisons to the general population and significant disparity. And so now we move beyond mere difference to significant differences. Now, Healthy People 2020 takes things a little bit differently. Yay for public health. And it defines health disparity. And if those of you who remember, Healthy People 2020 is framed around a social determinants of health framework. They define health disparities as health difference based on racial or ethnic group, religion, socioeconomic status, gender, age, and importantly for our disability section, mental health, cognitive, sensory, or physical disability, and add some other population groups as well. So really we have this clear recognition of people with disabilities as one of those populations, as a health disparity population. Now I said that Healthy People 2020 is framed around the social determinants of health, and this has certainly been an influence on our work in Oregon and elsewhere for the last perhaps 6 years or so. And Baker et al. And AJPH defined the social determinants of health as social, economic, and political resources and structures that influence health outcomes. The World Health Organization defined social determinants of health as The conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age, including the health system. That kind of work really came out of the Whitehall studies and the work in England in the 1990s. So we have to give credit to them. Similarly, the health promotion part of public health started thinking about the social determinants of health. And at the first International Conference on Health Promotion, which was in 1986, if I remember correctly, Jana, came up with the social determinants of health and the prerequisites for health, including such broad constructs as peace, shelter, education, food, income, stable ecosystem, sustainable resources, social justice, and equity. Much broader concepts than this notion of morbidity, mortality, and that sort of thing. Nevertheless, Ansari and colleagues came up with a public health model of the social determinants of health that I like a lot. And it kind of binds a number of these elements in bidirectional ways. And so at the top of this figure is the box representing the healthcare system attributes. At the bottom is disease-inducing behaviors. Sometimes we make poor choices. On the left is a box that describes social determinants, and they include socioeconomic things like age, race, education, income, or employment, psychosocial things like level of stress, isolation, the control you have in your life, and community and societal dimensions, including social support, participation, income equality, all of those things interacting with one another and contributing to health outcomes, both the traditional sense in morbidity, mortality, and then a more contemporary approach that looks at health-related quality of life or quality of life. So here's the question. Here's the crux of the issue. You know, Healthy People 2020 recognizes people with disabilities as a health disparities group. Are they more or less similar to recognized racial ethnic minorities in terms of socioeconomic status, health behaviors, and health outcomes? How strong is that argument to include people with disabilities as a health disparities group? To answer those questions, I'll be looking at some data from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. For those of us in public health, we love this survey. It's a state-based random digit dial telephone survey done every year in every state, DC, and the territories. Lots of information on demographics, health behaviors, prevention activities. This is based on 2009 data, and there was approximately 400,000 respondents that year. And then it's weighted and represents the whole nation. Has limitations. I'll address those at the end. Part of the earlier sessions was kind of deconstructing definitions of disability in different interview surveys. The BRFIS, admittedly, is a broad one. Either answering yes to one or both of these questions, and you qualify as an individual with a disability. Are you limited in any way in any activities because of physical, mental, or emotional problems? Do you not have any health problem that requires you to use special equipment, such as a cane, wheelchair, special bed, or special telephone? And based on this data, the disability prevalence rate is about 19%. If you look at racial ethnic categories based on the BRFIS data, and I'm going to use the terms that are used in BRFIS, so I'll say black as an example instead of African American, there's a range of prevalence rates for different racial ethnic groups, the largest being Hispanics at 17%, then blacks at 10%, and smaller percentages of Asians, American Indian, Alaska Natives, and the smallest being Pacific Islanders. So, I wish the BRFIS had more of the social determinants questions. I wish, and there are more socioeconomic status questions that we could have looked at. What we did look at are a couple of things. This is going to be a series of bar charts. Disability responses are going to be on the far left consistently. The white group is going to be on the far right. They're going to be a referent. I'm not going to make reference to them at all. About time we left the white people out. What I really want to draw your attention to is the patterns here, and I'll cite some numbers, but I want to have you get a sense of the patterns across the different dimensions of disability, thinking of them as a health disparity group, compared to these racial ethnic groups. So, for example, in the socioeconomic status, people employed for wages, people with disabilities, it's 43%. Compared to blacks at 60%, Asians at 64%, American Indian Alaska Native at 50%, and 57% of the Hispanics are employed for wages. Under the category of income of $25,000 a year or less, people with disabilities, its proportion is 33%. Which is at the midpoint then. We have more Hispanics with an income of $25,000 or less at 43%, than American Indians at 35%, blacks at 32%, and only 14% of Asians. And then finally, the category of less than a high school education. Hispanics have the highest proportion of that at 31%. American Indians at 14%, disability at 13%, and then blacks at 10%, and Asians at 6%. So pushing aside the kind of the socioeconomic contributors to overall health, we also know that some of our choices can negatively impact health. We know that there's associations between smoking and getting lung cancer, between exercising or not exercising and cardiovascular disease, and being obese or overweight and getting diabetes. So if you look at comparisons around being sedentary or being a current smoker, we have people with disabilities at the highest rate at 37%. With lower rates in all the racial ethnic categories. Current smoker rates are highest among people with disabilities as well, with the rest of it ranging between 23% for American Indians down to 9% of Asians. Again, under the obesity, higher proportions of people with disabilities that are obese or overweight at 38%, closely followed by blacks, American Indians, Hispanics, and Asians, and higher proportions of diabetes as well at 15% compared to 11% and below for other racial ethnic categories. Now these percentages are lower, and the sample here is so large that these could still be statistically significant, but we're going to look at cardiovascular disease and these higher proportions of stroke, coronary heart disease, and heart attack among people with disabilities compared to all other racial ethnic groups. Now, it's not just our behaviors that contribute to health. It's also things like whether you can get to or whether you have health insurance or if you can get to a doctor's office. So among people with disabilities, 17% of them report having no insurance. And there are both higher and lower prevalence rates of no insurance among other racial ethnic groups. Not having a recent medical check in the last year. Again, people with disabilities are at the midpoint compared to other racial ethnic groups. But people with disabilities report that cost is a barrier to medical care at higher rates than any other racial ethnic group. So how does that contribute overall then? What are the comparisons? Using the global health rating, which is the Burfus question of would you say that in general your health is excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor. Well, there you have it. You know, if you look at the racial ethnic groups, people with disabilities have the much lower proportion of them reporting that their health is excellent, very good, or good at 60%, ranging from blacks at 82%, Asians at 92%, American Indians at 78%, and Hispanics at 77%, and the converse, much higher proportions of folks being in fair or poor health, people with disabilities at 40%, and the rest of the folks at 23% or less. And yet we know that there are health promotion opportunities out there and that disability is not equivalent to ill health. And so, in fact, you can move up to these good health status if you have access to health promotion opportunities, medical care, and those sorts of things. So, where does then, you know, people with disabilities fit then in this notion of a health disparity group? Well, we can tell that they have, not entirely, but in general, they have a lower socioeconomic status and certainly midpoint on the high school education and the proportion of folks that have an income of $25,000 or less. And if you look at all of those health disparity indicators, people with disabilities have the least desirable prevalence rates for 10 of the 14 selected health indicators. You know, from a social determinants of health perspective, I think expanding what we have from the data here, I think it's a strong argument to say that disability is certainly similar to the experience of other racial social groups because of the presence of discrimination, limitations in resources, power, and social standing. I think a very strong argument, in fact, can be made to have people with disabilities included as a minority group under this kind of a health disparities population perspective. Now, there are limitations to the BRFIS. I mean, it both undercounts disability in the sense that it doesn't include people that are in congregate care situations, group homes, institutions, and it doesn't catch all the folks that have hearing problems and can't get to the phone soon enough. There's also this discussion that it's too broad, a definition of disability. And I'd like to also, but in answer to that, I would like to say that I think those racial ethnic categories have the same kind of characteristics. If you think about the lived experience of someone who is an African American and they are either from the Caribbean or from Africa, those are the same kind of difference in characteristics grouped under a single category of black that I think people with disabilities encounter. Certainly when we met with Assistant Secretary Koh of Health and Human Services, who's in fact Asian, and this argument was presented, and he said, well, you know what? Folks from China are very different than folks from Japan, and yet we're all kind of grouped under these these broad categories. My name is Charles Drum. It's charles.drum@unh.edu to reach me. This presentation was pulled from a larger report or chart book, and it can be obtained either by contacting me directly or going to our website, which is www.iod.unh.edu. And I thank you for your time.